good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Let's begin with the latest COVID numbers. Malaysia reported 50 new COVID-19 cases today. This is the sixth consecutive day of double-digit infections. However, there was one new death today, which makes this the 93rd person in the country that we've lost to COVID. But also, let's turn our attention to the situation at the Selayang wholesale market, which is under an enhanced MCO. There were reports that the 16,000 residents affected by the lockdown hadn't received any food or aid. But in response to this, the KL mayor has now assured that aid is on its way. The EMCO predominantly affects migrant workers and Rohingya refugees who earn a living at the Selayang wholesale market. And while this has brought out compassion in some, it's also brought out xenophobia in others. Now, this is particularly obvious on social media. We're seeing a lot of xenophobic comments and posts and tweets. Sharad, have you come across some of these?
Well, not personally, Melissa, because I tend to scroll very quickly through, the nasty bits of social media. But I think what we've seen over the last couple of weeks, of course, is that existing attitudes, especially ones that are very negative, have tended to rear their ugly head during this time. So a crisis just exacerbates suspicion, hatred, concern, anxiety about strangers in our midst, and so on and so forth. Right. I mean, one of the chief ways in which people misunderstand this particular crisis is to kind of somehow attach meaning to the cluster. So if you have a cluster that has perhaps migrant workers, you think it's something about migrant workers that's bringing the disease.
Right? What about the tablet cluster?
Indeed, with the tablet cluster, it was questions of religion, it was questions of irresponsibility. All these things suddenly get projected onto that cluster. I mean, it is a disease and it can affect anybody from Boris Johnson down to, well, I mean, Boris Johnson, because he's living in the US, in the UK. But the point is, at the end of the day,
The disease doesn't discriminate, right?
Yeah, not only does the disease doesn't discriminate, I mean, there's a public policy issue when it comes to this. Now, so food was the one question.
Right.
So now we have public money spent on non-citizen populations now. Will we have to do the same when a vaccine is found? Can we deal with this by dividing the population, citizen versus non-citizen?
Right.
You know, will we have to just accept that everybody will have to be treated equally in this pandemic because the virus does not discriminate?
Well, I've been wondering about this. I think this is quite an interesting time to kind of monitor the conversations, the chatter around this. You know, there is an online petition campaign urging the government not to help tens of thousands of Rohingya refugees affected by the EMCO. And that, you know, how many people have signed on to that petition? Yesterday, I think what doesn't help is the news reports and media reports coming out that perhaps are fanning the flames a trigger, so to speak, to these xenophobic comments. Bernama reporting that a man believed to be a foreigner arrested while attempting to escape from the lockdown area of the Selayang wholesale market. Now, the real question should be, why are these people trying to escape? If it is in fact true that there was a man trying to escape, we know we should be asking about whether these migrants are those under the EMCO are trying to flee, the root causes of that. Are they undocumented? Is there a trust deficit to authorities? These are the questions we should be asking and trying to allay those concerns.
Yeah, so question is, how do you deal with populations under EMCO, whether they're Malaysian or otherwise, right? Is it through a coercion? Or is it through cooperation? Now, how do you incentivize cooperation? Because that seems to be the more lasting, perhaps more effective way of doing it. It's not just for politically correct reasons, Melissa, that I say this, but it's just that when people are all of a similar mind about the need to battle this and they are convinced that, in fact, staying put or practicing social distancing is beneficial to all, they will do it.
Yes.
Right? So, yes, you can erect watchtowers and you can have men with guns patrolling. But that's the coercive end of the strategy. And perhaps you have to have both in your bag of tools. Nevertheless, at the end of the day, public policy makers are going to have to deal with the question of undocumented workers in our midst, who are numbered in the hundreds of thousands. And those have to be dealt with in some sort of fashion so that they become cooperative rather than see the Malaysian authorities as a potential threat.
Well, speaking of the Rohingya community, according to Lillian Fan from the Asia Pacific Refugee Rights Network, refugees are facing difficulties in paying rent. Some have been evicted and are living in the streets right now. Now, this so-called rent crisis is not limited to just refugees. In fact, many in the low-income group are also at risk as their ability to earn a living is in jeopardy due to the pandemic. Now, what we're also seeing is that it's not just limited to, you know, to the B40 group or to migrant workers or to refugees. It is many people are at risk because their incomes are at risk from the MCO.
You know, so you think about it, Melissa, if you know you have one or two instances of people being tossed out into the street because they can't pay their rent, that's not a public problem of a public concern, right? Because just one or two people. But if this was a generalized action taken by landlords who are impatient to get their money, who for whatever reason think that somehow they vacate their premises, others might come and actually pay rent at this point in time, whatever it is, it does become a problem for everybody because it will not be hygienic. There will be questions of safety that will suddenly arise, not just for people around them, but for the people who are now tossed out into the streets.
Well,
so a lot of consequences, negative consequences, that landlords are allowed to evict tenants at this particular crisis.
I really think that this crisis has shone a light or brought to the surface the many issues regarding Malaysia's most vulnerable communities, but also the fact that many people, more people are more vulnerable than we even realize. The most are more vulnerable than they appear. I'm thinking back to a Bank Negara survey that found 86% of urban households have zero savings. 86% have zero savings. And that most people, or I think 75% of Malaysians, said it was a challenge to raise 1,000 ringgit in cash in the event of an emergency. Now, think about that. Most people are just one bad month away from financial hardship. And that's a real concern.
Yeah, and it's not just, people, as you might notice, people in the B40, it might actually be people in the M40 as
right.
well, who, for whatever reason, in terms of their businesses, are now taking a hit. Are landlords going to be pushing them out on the street?
Yeah.
And what is the consequence if that happens in the thousands?
This rent crisis is something we're going to keep a close eye on. But after this, we're going to turn our attention down south and take a closer look at the change in Singapore's COVID-19 response. It's been quite interesting, so stay tuned to consider this.